you have to be well-versed in all the 60 masechtas of the Shas, inside out, backwards and forwards. And there are not many Jews who really can earn the title of Goen. Rabbi Yaakov Yeshaya Blezacher Tzadik Livlocha was one of those few Yidden. His books, he just understands who this Goen was. He wrote an incredible book about the most difficult halachas there were. He stood at the head of the kashrus organization of Badat Seida Haredis, which is the biggest Mehadrin kashrus organization in the world. And this was his speciality. But it doesn't stop there. He wrote an incredible book about Hilchos Mikvos, about a mikveh, which are some of the most complicated halachas. Anyone who ever learned Yoredea, Siman Reish Aleph, 201, just knows how difficult that siman is. He was in charge also of all the mikvos under the Badat Seida Haredis. It doesn't finish there. He wrote a very extensive and long book about Hilchos Ribis, interest, which are very, very difficult halachas. His book is called Brit Yehuda. He was the head in the Badat Seida Haredit of their whole financial department, which means anyone who wanted to get a hechsher, that their business was running according to halacha, he stood at the head of the halachic organization via the Badat Seida Haredit. It doesn't end there. He wrote a series of books called Pitchei Choshen, a series of 10 volumes. There's not one dayan in the world, and I repeat, there's not one dayan in the world who deals in Dinei Mamonot, who doesn't use his book on a day-to-day basis. And he was also considered to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest, expert on Dinei Mamonos in the Eidech Avedis. And this is all one Jew who passed away at the age of 84. And we now realize what the title of a great Goan means. And this is Rabbi Yaakov Yeshaya Blezacher Tzadik Livrocha. And what we need to learn, both from Rabbi Yaakov Yeshaya Blezacher Tzadik Livrocha and Lehavdil from Rabbi Avadia Yosef Shlita, is that in order to become a great Talmid Chacham, there's only two things that a person needs to do. And only two things. One, sit and learn. You don't become a Talmid Chacham by wanting to learn. Wanting is very good, it's important, but you need to sit and learn. There are many things that I want, but I don't do them. I want to earn $10 million so that I can buy a very nice big house here in Yerushalayim with another house that I can rent it out and I can live peacefully and just sit and learn. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to go out and work and try to earn the $10 million. And that doesn't also mean that I pray for it. You've got to sit and learn. B. All the Rabbonim say that the reason that they managed to grow in Torah is because they prayed and prayed and prayed for Hashem to give them the love of Torah and the understanding of Torah. You can't reach anywhere without prayer. Now each one of us, every single day, three times a day, we daven Shmona Esrei, we have the most incredible tefillah about Torah. It's the fourth bracha of Shmona Esrei, Ata chonen le'adam dat. You're the one who gives man wisdom. Choneinu mitcha chomah binah. Please give us the wisdom to understand, to learn. Rav Yoshua Cohen Shlita, one of the biggest Goenim that we have today, who teaches here in Har Yeshiva, whose title and nickname in the Chavedi world is Rav Shas Cohen, he who knows Shas, backwards and forwards. He told me specifically, he said to me that is the brocha that takes him the longest time to say in the all of Shmona Esrei. Every single day, three times a day, that's the brocha he has the most kavana in. Please help me have Deya, help me have Bina, help me understand what Hashem wants from me, help me learn Torah. So Bezrat Hashem, trying to follow the path of these two Geonim, we will both immerse ourselves in learning and we will immerse ourselves in prayers that Hashem will accept our learning and help us to learn and open our thick minds, because we really do have thick minds, unfortunately, all of us, to understand what the Holy Torah wants of us and what Hashem wants of us. We're continuing dealing with the halachas of Hilchos Lashon Hara, which are very relevant to the time that we're at. In a week's time, they're going to be the elections. There are many opinions, there are many shittis in Am Yisrael, there are many of Gdolei Israel who say this and who say that. We respect them all, we love them all. Each one is supposed to do what his rabbi and mentor tells him to do. There is no heter whatsoever to say anything derogatory, to say anything which has even the smallest hint of any damage or any disrespect against someone else, against another group. We do what we think is suitable. We vote or we don't vote, that depends on what your Rav told you to do. And after you finish doing that, you come back to yeshiva and you continue learning. And Baruch Hashem, we have to say something wonderful here about our yeshiva and our kehillah. You wouldn't even know there's election in 8 days. Because we don't speak about it. There are no signs here, there's no elections. Anyone who wants to see what Gan Eden is in this time, please, you're all welcome to come to Yeshivat Chur Shel Chesed. All we are busy with every single day is Torah and Avodas Hashem. And that's the way it should be. No heter whatsoever for Lashon Hara or Echilas. We're continuing with the different halachas of Lashon Hara. One of the interesting halachas that the Chofetz Chaim brings is that when you say something derogatory about a person that's osur, because that's Lashon Hara, you don't have to say it directly. Even an indirect derogatory comment is considered to be Lashon Hara. And we'll explain. I, Baruch Hashem, will give a story. I had a baby boy. I did a bris. No, I didn't have a baby boy. I'm just giving it as a story. I had a baby boy. I did a bris. I got presents. A friend of mine brought me a very nice set of linen for the baby's cot. Very nice. Looks prestigious and expensive packet. I show it to one of you and I say, did you see what Yossi brought me as a present for the bris? Look at this beautiful set of linen. Look at this expensive box. And then you say, oh, don't get so excited. I saw that in Bazaar Strauss. They're selling it now for $39.90. They're trying to get rid of it. I mean, I'm sorry to say, but it's real garbage. You didn't say anything about the person who gave me the present. You only spoke about the present itself. But by you speaking about the present, you are making an indirect derogatory comment about the person who gave me the present. Because you're saying, all he gave you is a $39.90 present. He was actually conning you. It looks nice. It looks a very fancy package, but it's not worth that much. You're only worth to him $39.90. So you are making an indirect derogatory comment about someone, even though you never mentioned his name, you never said anything. You merely spoke about the present that he gave. That is Lashon Hara from the Oraisa that's forbidden. And we can see an example of that in the Gemara. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Yevomos, on the 112th page, at the end of the first side, the beginning of the second side, the Gemara there says how we can see that the Amoraim were so careful about Eretz Yisrael so that none of their Talmidim will ever make a derogatory comment about Eretz Yisrael, because making a derogatory comment about Eretz Yisrael is as if making and saying something negative about Hashem Yitzbarach, who gave us Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Gemara says they were very makpir on sunny days to always move their Talmidim from the sun to the shade. So Talmidim shouldn't sit under the sun. They'd be hot. And one of them would say, oh, it's so hot here in Israel. The minute you say it's so hot in Israel, you're actually saying, couldn't Hashem give us a nicer, cooler, easier place to live in? I mean, he had to give us Eretz Yisrael. That's how they were makbid about. They were makbid also when their Talmidim sat outside. They themselves came and they used to move all the stones and all the rocks from the paths that led to where their Talmidim sat and the place their Talmidim sat. Why? Because otherwise you'd bash your leg on a stone and you'd say, oh, there's so many stones in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, you know, come on. My father had a relation, who lived in Canada. And he was petrified of coming to Eretz Yisrael because he had two very serious phobias. He was petrified of snakes and of crocodiles. And he believed that Eretz Yisrael was roaming with snakes and crocodiles. And as much as we tried to convince him that doesn't happen, my father said, I'm scared of inviting you. He said, one day he's going to come here, and punked on that day, a crocodile's going to escape from the zoo, and he's going to see a crocodile, and it's going to be terrible, and he's never going to come. We have to be very careful, we who live here in Eretz Yisrael, we have to be very careful the way we speak about Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is the land that we were given from Hashem Yisbarach. Speaking about Eretz Yisrael is as if speaking about Hashem himself. That's why we need to be very careful never ever to say it's too hot in Eretz Yisrael. It's too cold. The roads are not paved properly. The services are ABC. We've got to be very careful. We need to remember. This is what the Gemara says. We are living in the land that the King Almighty gave us. Respecting the land is respecting the present we got from Hashem. Disrespecting the land is disrespecting Hashem. So from there we see from the Gemara that even an indirect derogatory comment is considered to be Lashon Hara. Yes?
I'll pick up my first question for the second one. And I know that I'm going to do this in a way where it doesn't really melt into politics. But basically what you exactly said, I didn't make it really precise. Our are you talking only about Eretz Israel, Haaretz, or including Medina, the state of Israel? Because for me, I see, I need to teach my children, they're two separate things. So,
we were asked a question about when I say Eretz Israel, do I also mean Medinat Israel? Before that, we're going to speak about the golden rule here in Yeshiva. We speak about nothing that can cause any machlokes. Since the issue of Medinat Israel is an issue that causes machlokes, we do not speak about it, we don't refer about it. We're not saying anything negative, anything positive, we really don't refer about it. Saying the term Eretz Israel solves lots and lots of machlokes problems, and that's why I just use that term. Anyone can take it to his own hashkofa, to his own side. We don't speak here about hashkofa in yeshiva. So that's the first halacha. Indirect derogatory comments are also considered to be lashon hara. Think how careful you've got to be when you say something bad about the car someone bought. If I'm speaking to you, we're speaking now about a car that Yossi bought, and I say to you, did you see the car he got? I mean, come on, it's a joke. What am I actually saying? I'm saying Yossi's an idiot. He's an imbecile. He doesn't know how to buy a car. That's lashon hara. I never said a single word about him. I only spoke about the car that he bought. See how easy it is to go into the issue of lashon hara. How careful we've got to be. That's why the Gemara says in Maseches Ketubos on the 17th page that when a person buys something from the market, whether you think it's good or bad, you have always got to praise what he bought. Why? The Gemara says, how can I lie? I think it's terrible. True, you might think it's terrible, but he bought it. That means that he thinks it's good. For him, it's good enough. When you're praising it, you're not praising it from your point of view. You're praising it from his point of view. You got something very good. Obviously, he got it. Otherwise, he wouldn't get it. We've got to be very careful also the way we talk about other people's objects and belongings. That can also be lashon hara. Another thing that the Chofetz Chaim teaches us is that disrespect or derogatory or insulting comments are all relative. Now, what does that mean that they're all relative? We'll give an example. If I came and I said about someone who works every single day, he works as an accountant, and he works for long hours, for 8 to 10 hours, and I said, do you know that every single day he sits for 4 hours straight learning? That's a wonderful compliment. A person who's working a full-time job from 8 to 4, and he still has the time even to dedicate to his family and to spend 4 hours learning every single day, that's a wonderful compliment. But if I went and said about someone who is an avrich, who he's supposed to be in yeshiva for 10 hours every single day, do you know that that avrich sits and learns for 4 hours every single day? That's already not a compliment. That's an insult. You're not supposed to be learning for 4 hours a day. You're supposed to be learning for 10, 12, 14, 16 hours a day. Which means saying something that's insulting or disrespectful is all relative. The best example that I once heard from one of my rabbonim is, when we meet each other, it's very common to come and, you know, give each other a tap on the shoulder. Common. Would you go to one of Gedolei Yisrael, Rav Ovadia Yosef Shlita, for example, and give him a tap on the shoulder? If you would do that, you better run. And very, very quickly, because people are going to be chasing you. That's disrespectful. Behavior is relative. So too, saying something about someone else is relative. So before you say something about anyone, you've got to think, for him, is that a compliment or is that an insult? Now, where do we learn this rule about relativity? We learn this in the Gemara in Yoyma on the 86th page. The Gemara there deals about a different issue called Chilul Hashem. What is Chilul Hashem? Chilul Hashem means that actions that I take can cause disrespect towards Hashem in the Torah. Now, obviously, there's a difference between each and every single one of us. The Gemara there, for example, says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, who was one of the biggest Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yochanan, he was the one who wrote the Yerushalmi Talmud. Rabbi Yochanan says, if I walk in the street for Dalet Amos, 2 meters, and I'm without my tefillin, and I'm not learning Torah inside a book, that's Chilul Hashem. They'll say about me, he's a batlan. That's Rabbi Yochanan, the great Amora, the writer, the author of the Yerushalmi Talmud. He's walking for 2 meters without learning Torah. For us, for example, to walk in the street and not always have a book open, there's no Chilul Hashem in that. No one expects that from us. So we can see here that Chilul Hashem is relative. Now that also means something, if we're speaking really about Chilul Hashem, which is relevant to all of us. Today, each and every single Jew who has a yarmulke on his head represents Yiddishkeit and represents Hashem. Whether we want it or whether we don't, we are seen in the world as the representatives of Am Yisrael and of Toivas Yisrael. And therefore, we have got to be very careful with our behavior. For example, if a frum person is now standing in line, waiting to pay at the grocery store, and since he's very rushed, he has to get to the doctor, he has to take his kid out, he decides to, what's called, do a little detour and run to the head of the line, leaving all the people behind, that is Chilul Hashem. Because people are not going to look at you and say, oh, he is a revolting person. He doesn't have any manners, he's disrespectful. They're not. What are they going to say? Oh, those frum people there, you know. This is what their Torah teaches them. This is what the Yiddishkeit does for them. They will always look at us as a group. And that means that we have got to be very careful the way we behave. We've got to be careful the way we drive in the street. We need to drive in a respectful way. You can't hoot and you can't drive in a dangerous way, because when people look into the car and they see you, they won't say, oh, he's a Meshigana. They're going to say, oh, those Charedim, they don't know how to drive. Those frum people, they don't know how to behave on the street. That's what they're going to say. When we cross the street at a red light, which, by the way, there is no heter whatsoever to cross at, I don't know what it's called, I don't know what Americans call it. In South Africa, it's called the zebra crossing. They call it because it's white. What? The crosswalk. When you, there's no heter to cross the crosswalk at a red light. No heter. That is an issu de araisa of sakanat nefashot. And more so, even in a place when there are no cars, when you do that, it is awesome. Do you know why? Because if they're young kids looking behind, seeing you as an adult crossing, why shouldn't they cross? And do you know how many kids are hurt every single year because they saw an adult crossing a red light and they tried to do that also? And since they're kids, their perception of space and of speed is not that accurate, and they got hit by running cars? There's no heter. When you cross the street at a red light, what do people say? Oh, those frum people, they have complete disrespect to anything that's different rules, to the rules of the Medina, to the rules of the law. They disrespect the police, they disrespect the government. Those are all things that can cause Chilul Hashem. We have got to remember, whenever we walk out in the street, we are representing Hashem and Torah. And here in Yeshiva, it's even worse, because we have another very, very big burden that we represent. We represent Breslev. We represent Rabbeinu. When people see us as Hasidei Breslev, they will say, oh, those Breslevers then. We represent Breslev, we represent the Rabbeinu, the Shiva, the Rosh Yeshiva, our Shlita. We've got to be very careful the way we behave. So not only is Lashon Hara relative, and disrespectful comments or insulting comments, those are all relative, so too Chilul Hashem. And we've got to remember that our role is to only bring kavod to Hashem, to the Torah, and to Breslev and to Rabbeinu. The next halacha that the Chofetz Chaim speaks about is, what happens if I talk about a certain trait that a person has, which is a very good trait, but I mean to talk about it in a derogatory way? For example, being a tzaddik is a wonderful thing. We all want to be tzaddikim. But unfortunately, we know that there's some very light-headed people who think that being a tzaddik is not very good. They'll make jokes about it. For example, oh, did you see Daniel, that tzaddik? I mean, did you see him davening for an hour? Oh, shaking backwards and forwards. Oh, yeah. That really looked impressive, didn't it? There's nothing wrong about being a tzaddik. It's a wonderful thing. We'd all like to be able to daven for an hour with kavona. But when I said that to my friend, my intent was to insult Daniel. My intent was to use it as something derogatory and something disrespectful. Even when I speak about a positive trait, if I mean it in a disrespectful and derogatory way, that's an issur d'oraisa of Lashon Hara. Which means, if you will say, for example, being a simpleton, we all want to be simpletons. When Rabbeinu brings, Rabbi Natan writes at the beginning, at the introduction of Sipurei Ma'asiyot, that Sipurei Ma'asiyot are the highest books of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. In other words, after Rabbi Nachman of Breslov has tried to instill into our thick skulls how we're supposed to behave through his Torahs and through his Sichas, and he saw that it didn't work, okay, then he took out the Judgment Day weapon. And those are the stories. Maybe finally we'll get the point. More so, in Sichot Aran, in Sichah Kuf Nun Aleph 151, there's a very beautiful evidence of the importance there of Sipurei Ma'asiyot. In Sichot Aran, Rabbi Natan tells about himself that one Shabbos, he heard both a Torah from Rabbeinu And he heard a story from Rabbeinu, the continuation of the story of the seven betlers. And at Motzei Shabbos, what did he run to write? The story. And he wrote that, "I forgot the Torah." He says, "I forgot what Rabbeinu said in the Torah." It was more important to him to write the Sipurei Ma'asiyot of Rabbeinu than the Torahs of Rabbeinu. Moreno Rabbeinu, the Rosh Hashiva of Auschlitz, has always said that the key story of Rabbeinu, where Rabbeinu gives us the rules of how a breast of a chosid should look and how a breast of a chosid should behave, is the ninth story. Ma'isetet ma'aseh michacham v'tam. We are all supposed to aspire to be Hatam HaKadosh, the holy Tam. The holy Tam would be translated as someone who's a simpleton. Live your life simply. Don't ask questions. Accept everything. Know everything's from Hashem. Yet, if we say today that someone is a Tomim, someone is a simpleton, it is considered to be a derogatory comment. Oh, you know, he doesn't understand. He's not sharp. He doesn't get it. He doesn't know how to behave in this world. So even though being a Tam and a Tomim is something positive, if we use it as a derogatory comment, that's an Issa of Lashon Hara when we speak about it to someone else. So again, even positive traits, we've got to be careful how we say them. The next halacha that the Chofetz Chaim brings is when a person speaks Lashon Hara that can cause you damage, even though you had no intent whatsoever to make a derogatory comment, that's also Lashon Hara. So far we've learned that Lashon Hara is saying something insulting about someone else. No, Lashon Hara is also saying something that's harmful against someone else. Where do we learn that from? The Gemara on Masechet Shabbos, on the 33rd page on the second side, and it continues a bit to the 34th page at the beginning of the first side, the Gemara there brings a very famous story. We all know it, we'll just repeat it again. The story of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. What was the story? The Gemara there tells that three of the greatest Torah scholars of the age of the Tanoim met together to discuss the Roman political issue. Very relevant to our times now, when we're in the political times. Those three Tanoim were Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Ilai, Rabbi Yosei, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. And they were discussing all the things the Romans did. The Romans were considered to be great architects. Wherever the Romans went, the Romans always built impressive buildings, and they always tried to improve the physical structure of any city that they went in. One of the things the Romans did, and they did it in an incredible way, was build roads. Why did the Romans invest so much money in their roads? Not because they wanted it to be easier for us to get from place to place. The whole Roman army was able to mobilize itself, and according to the writings of that time, was able to progress at a distance of between 21 to 35 kilometers per day, including supplies. And all of that was achieved because of their system of roads. So the Romans invested a lot so they can continue ruling the empire. These three Tanoi met together and discussed all the things the Romans did in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Ilai said, "Look at what wonderful things the Romans did for us. Nachon, they conquered Eretz Yisrael and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. But there are many things they did to improve here the actual building of Eretz Yisrael. They built markets. They built roads. They built bathhouses. They built all these impressive things that we are enjoying them on a day-to-day basis." Rabbi Yosei, he decided to say nothing. He was from the United Nations, and he decided not to voice an opinion. Because from one side, there are positive things that they did, but from the other hand, it's very negative. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, he was a Kanoi. And he said, "You're talking nonsense. Everything that they did for themselves. Nothing is for us. They are evil. They're corrupt. All they did is so that they can be able to live, so that they can live here with the normal pleasures that they're used to coming from Rome. They wanted to build bathhouses for themselves. They don't care if you go to the bathhouses. On the contrary, they prefer you don't even go to them. The markets, they build it for themselves. The roads, for their armies." Says the Gemara, sat there during their meeting, a fourth Jew, and that Jew was called Yehuda ben Gerim. Yehuda ben Gerim was sitting there, and he heard this incredibly interesting conversation about what the Tanaim think about the Roman Empire. Imagine if you are now sitting, okay, and you are hearing a conversation between Rav Ovadia, Rav Steinemann, and the Belzer Rebbe speaking about what they think of Medinas Yisrael. It's fascinating. Do you think you'd be able to control yourself and not go and tell other people what you heard? I wouldn't. I mean, that's one-of-a-lifetime thing, hearing three of Gedolei Yisrael speaking about day-to-day practical political issues from their Torah outlook. Yehuda ben Gerim sat, and Yehuda ben Gerim eventually spoke about what happened, and that came to knowledge to the Roman Empire and to the Roman authorities. And the Roman authorities got very angry. And they said, Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Elai, who praised us, he will get a promotion. He will become Rosh HaMedabrim b'kol makom. That means that wherever he goes and there's a meeting of Chachmei Yisrael, he will be the first one to speak. They thought that was a prize. Normally for a rabbi it's a punishment. Do you know why? The best thing that all rabbis wish is to be the last speaker. And I'll tell you why. Reason number one, you don't have to prepare. Because normally by the time they get to you, there won't be any time left. Reason number three, you don't have to prepare because you can always use an idea that someone else says by saying, oh, I would like to take the idea that the prominent rabbi who spoke before me and just elaborate it a bit, which makes life very easy. And the third reason is that the reason you don't want to speak all the time at the beginning is who said you're a good spokesman? I mean, one of the most incredible spokesmen that we have today in the rabbinical world is Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita, who was the chief rabbi. He's now the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. He is an incredible speaker. No one wants to speak with him. Why? Because everyone else is put in the shadow when he speaks. He's incredible. He really is incredible. So being the first speaker is not necessarily something positive. The Romans thought it was, and they appointed Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Elai to be the head speaker wherever he goes. Sorry. Rabbi Yosei, who said nothing, he was deported. He was sent on exile to a different city. He was sent to the city of Tzipori. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who said negative things about the Roman Empire, he is going to be executed. And the Gemara there tells how Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai ran and hid, eventually came to the cave, was there for 12 years, then came out another year. And the Gemara there tells, at the beginning of the 34th page of Masechet Shabbos, that when Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai met Yehuda ben Gerim, who was the cause that all this whole story was brought to the Roman Empire, that they came to know about this secret conversation, because you do realize that if Chachmei Yisrael is speaking about the Roman Empire while they're ruling Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't this open forum, okay? I mean, the press wasn't there. It was something private. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai sees Yehuda ben Gerim, the cause of all of this, and he looked and he said, "You're still alive?" Says the Gemara, Natan bo einav, he looked at him and he killed him on the spot. Which means, Yehuda ben Gerim did a nisa. He caused for Loshon Hara to be heard, even though he had no intent to disrespect or to say anything derogatory about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. But that caused Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai damage. He had to flee. He had to escape. Of course, he gains incredible spiritual virtues because of that, because for 12 years he learned in the cave with Eliyahu HaNovi. But nevertheless, those weren't easy years, not for him and not for his son. So we see that Lashon Hara, even if you have no intent to make any disrespectful comment, but if the intent is to harm someone else, that is Lashon Hara. The Migdal Oz, who is one of the Rishonim who interpret the Rambam, brings another story and another raya for this din, a raya that we learn from the Yerushalmi Masechet Peah, first chapter, first halacha. The Gemara there speaks about in the time that the Roman Empire was ruling Eretz Yisrael. We know here in Eretz Yisrael, people who serve in the army, they have a concept called miluim. They need to go for a certain amount of time every single year and serve in the army, both to train and to help protect Eretz Yisrael, to help do all the things that the army does, which are very important things. And they've got to do miluim. And the Gemara there says that even in the time of the Roman Empire, there was miluim. People had to go on a certain day, each group of people had to go and had to serve the Roman Empire by doing different things, either by building roads or by guarding or protecting things. One day, a group of people gets called up. One of them was called Bar Chovetz. Now, Bar Chovetz decides to do what's called Arika. He's not coming. He's got better things to do. Okay. He decided not to come. I'm sure that he spoke about it to his rabbi, and his rabbi said to him, "What are you crazy? Sit and learn. I mean, you're going to work for the Roman Empire? Stay home." Bar Chovetz didn't go. His friends saw that, and his friends got quite irritated. I mean, excuse me, we're all going. Where are you? By you not coming, we're going to have to work harder. We were supposed to be a group of 10 people. We're now 9. We still have to do the job. Okay, so they decided to make sure that the Roman sergeant who was in charge of their force will know that Baruch Hofet didn't come. But they're Jews. I mean, they don't want to. They don't want to be a Moisa. They're not going to tell him directly, Baruch Hofet didn't come to do his duty. So what did they do? They started speaking to each other about what they're going to eat for lunch. And there's a certain food called chavitza. What are we going to eat today for lunch? Oh, we want to eat chavitza, 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 repeating the name again and again. And suddenly the Roman sergeant says, chavitza, chavitza. What does that remind me? Oh, where's Baruch Hofet? I didn't see him. He's a tenth guy. He's missing. Says the Gemara, that's Lashon Hara. That's Lashon Hara. They had no intent to disrespect Baruch Hofet. They said nothing derogatory about him, but they did have the intent to harm him. Baruch Hofet did not come to do his duty for the Roman Empire, and it was their intent to bring it to the knowledge of the Roman commander who was in charge, so that Baruch Hofet will be punished for not coming to do his civil duty to the Roman Empire. That is Lashon Hara. So we see here that Lashon Hara is not necessarily saying something negative or derogatory about a person, but even when you want to cause him physical harm, financial harm, emotional harm, that is considered to be Lashon Hara. I'm going to give an example. An example. It's a bit of a difficult example, but unfortunately it's something that many people come, they come to deal with it during their lives. Let's take, for example, we know of a family, one of the members of the family had a very difficult illness. Something very difficult, something very complicated, something that the family is trying to hide and keep quiet. They don't want it to be published. They don't want it to be public. They want it to be to stay quiet and private. You know about it. And you go speak to your friend and tell them, did you hear what happened in the Cohen family? Do you know that the Cohen mother is very sick with this and that? That is Lashon Hara. Why is that Lashon Hara? You didn't say anything insulting. You didn't say anything derogatory. But they're trying to hide it. They don't want people to know. And you know they're trying to hide it. By you going and telling other people, you're not going to cause them to be upset. The Rambam paskens in Hilchos Deos, in the 7th chapter, the 5th halacha, that even if you cause tzar to another Jew by speaking about him to someone else, that's Lashon Hara from Doraisa, it's forbidden. You know the family are trying to conceal what's happening in their own house. Why are you going and telling it to other people? It's going to upset them if they know that other people know about the situation in their house. That's Lashon Hara. So Lashon Hara is not only saying something insulting, derogatory, or disrespectful, it's also saying something harmful. Whether that harmful thing is something that can harm him physically, something that can harm him financially, or something that can harm him emotionally, that is also considered to be Lashon Hara, that is forbidden to say. The last halacha we're going to speak about before we start our free questions is, the Chofetz Chaim says that even if you had no intent whatsoever to cause the other person damage, if damage was caused from what you said, that is Lashon Hara. Where do we learn that from? We brought the story before of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Yehuda ben Girim. The Gemara there has two different versions how Yehuda ben Girim should be called. Some say he should be called Yehuda ben Girim. Some say he should be called Rabbi Yehuda ben Girim. The Balei HaTosfot on the Sugya discuss it. If he was a Rosha, he shouldn't be called Rabbi. We don't give the title of Rebbe to someone who is an evil person. If he's not a Rosha, he does deserve the title of Rebbe. Says the Tosfos, Yehuda ben Girim does earn the title of Rebbe. He wasn't a Rosha. Why? Yehuda ben Girim, when he heard the whole story and conversation between Chachmei Yisrael, between Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Elai, Rabbi Yosei, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, he didn't go to the Roman authorities in intent to harm Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Not at all. The Gemara there says, Vesiper Yehuda ben Girim venishme'u dvarav l'malchut. He didn't speak to the Roman authorities. He came running back to Yeshiva telling them, you don't know what happened to me today. You have to hear this. I just happened to be at a secret meeting of Gedolei Yisrael. They spoke about their relationship and their outlook on the Roman Empire, and this is what they said. And slowly, as we know, he told Yeshiva. And in 20 minutes, all of the wives knew that also. In 30 minutes, all of their extended family knew. And eventually, the Roman authorities heard about this conversation. Yehuda ben Gerim had no intent whatsoever to harm Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. He just told a fascinating story that he was witness to of how Gdol Yisrael met and spoke. Nevertheless, because he should have thought, think, if you tell this story and the Roman authorities hear about what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says about them, do you think they're going to give him a medal? They're going to give him a prize? They're going to give him a house in Yerushalayim free of rent? No, you know they're going to come hunting him down. Be careful about what you're saying. Even if you have no intent to damage another Jew, you have to be careful and control what comes out of your mouth. As we can see, these halachas of Lashon Hara teach us that some of us should pray to Hashem, why didn't you make me a mute? It would make our lives much easier. But Hashem didn't give it to us. He gave us the power of speech, which the power of speech can build worlds, but as we can see, it can also destroy worlds. We've got to be very, very careful with what comes out of our mouths. Thinking before we speak about any other Jew, thinking 10 times, can it cause him harm? Can it cause him to feel emotional distress? Is it something insulting or derogatory? And be very careful about what we say. Any questions? Yes. The question was, when political parties here speak about each other, is it considered toilet? Since we here at the Chuchel Chesed Yeshiva are not a political party and have nothing to do with a political fraction here and there, that question is not relevant to us. So that question should be asked by, you should ask the political parties themselves why they do what they do. I can't answer in their name. What? When you hear someone speaking about politics, the best thing to do is to run away. It's not going to change your opinion, it's not going to change your mindset, and you're not going to gain anything positive from that. So, what's the point? Go learn instead. Yes?
Two questions. One, I'm sure it's my misunderstanding of your talk at the beginning, your shiur. You used the word lahabdil between two rabbis. My knowledge of lahabdil.
The question was, why when I said Rav Avadia Yosef Shlita and then I spoke about Rav Chaim Yaakov Yeshayahu Blei, I said Lehavdil. Whenever we speak about someone who's living and someone who's dead, we always use the word Lehavdil, to differentiate between the living and the dead. It's an Inyan of Ein Hara, we don't put them in the same sentence. It doesn't mean that one is better or worse than the other, Chas V'Chalila. We always do that between someone who is alive and dead. And we know that the expression is, for example, when I speak about someone who is deceased, and then I speak someone who is alive, we use the expression, Yibadel Lechayim Arukim. Yibadel also is Lehavdil. He will be separated for a long life. It's just a manner of speech.
And about semi-religious people who will give a bad impression if they're wearing a kippah, is it preferable that they take the kippah off or continue wearing it?
Semi-religious people who have a kippah on their heads and who sometimes their behavior can cause damage to Yiddishkeit. It is a very complicated question. It depends again on the person. It depends on his status. It depends on who he is and what he does. We can't answer that in a shir. Every single shayla should be discussed privately, and that person should go and ask his rov what is the most suitable thing for him to do. Yes? Okay, these were two questions. The question number one is, how should we treat newspapers? And the question number two is, if we see in a newspaper article something which is written, which is either Lashon Hara or Rechilus, referring to someone or to some other fraction, how are we supposed to deal with a reporter? Are we supposed to deal with a kafzchut? First question, newspapers are extremely problematic, so much so that the Admo, the Beis Yisrael of the Gur, who was one of the biggest Admorim who lived here about 30 years ago, said that you're not even allowed to use newspapers to wrap them around fish. You're not allowed to have a newspaper in your house. Newspapers, the things are this, newspapers, non-from newspapers, there's no heter whatsoever to bring them into your house because they're filled with Avodah Zorah, Giloy Aros, and Shfichus Domim. Avodah Zorah is anything that is against the Yiddish, the Jewish outlook on life. The whole newspaper is filled against Hashem and against Torah. Shfichus Domim, many of the newspapers encourage people to take their own lives, encourage deaths where the halacha forbids that. That's Shfichus Domim. And Gilo Arroyos, I don't think I have to elaborate. The papers are extremely promiscuous and revolting, and there's no heter whatsoever to bring a non-from paper into your house, even have it close to you, into your proximity. From papers, we have to discuss each paper to its own point. Some from papers we considered are sponsored by Gdol Yisrael. And when Gdol Yisrael themselves sponsor a newspaper, how can we say anything against it? Even if you see an author, a writer, who writes something that is Loshon Hora Chilus, yes, you have to judge him L'Kaf Schus. And do you know why? Because every reporter has above him someone who's called an editor. And you don't know if what the reporter wrote is what the editor decided to bring in. You see, the reporter might have brought a sentence that the rabbi said is that I do not want machlokes. And the editor decided to take out the two words of the words of do not and write I want machlokes. So that might be nothing that the person said or that the reporter wrote, but the editor decided. And above the editor, we also have someone standing, and that is called the owner of the newspaper, who has his own interest and who can put in his own things. So yes, we still need to discuss, we still need to judge every single person, the Kaf Schus, because we don't know what caused him, we don't know what he actually did. Yes?
When negotiating with somebody on a purchase, if there's a large difference in opinion as to the value of something, and you first tender your offer to that person, seems to be dramatically lower than what he perceives the value to be of that object, of that thing. Is that an element of insulting the person in terms of? Are you supposed to?
A good question. If you want to buy my house, and I estimate my house being worth $1 million. And the offer that you make me is $100,000, which is a very vast difference. Is that considered to be something insulting? The answer is no. This is the business world. You can offer me whatever you want, and I can say no, and I can give whatever price I want. But one's got to be very careful on business. Never, ever go to the personal level. In other words, if you made me an offer of $100,000, and I'd say, what? Are you insane? Are you normal? Do you live here at all? That is forbidden, because I am saying now something derogatory about you. It's as if I'm implying that you don't know what you're talking about, that you shouldn't even be dealing in real estate. I've got to be very careful about personal comments. If I can say to you, listen, you and I both know that that is a completely non-realistic offer. When you want to make a realistic offer, please come back. I didn't say anything personal about you. We spoke on the business level. Nothing insulting. Everything's respectful. That's allowed. Yes? The question that we asked here about is the heter the Gemara brings in Maseches Erchin and Daftet Zayin called Be'ape Tlata, when something is said in front of three people. We will discuss that heter extensively because most people do not understand the heter properly and they use it in terms that they unfortunately do in Issa of Loshon Hora. We'll just say something small. The heter of Be'ape Tlata is only when your intent is not to say any Lashon Hara. You don't mean to harm him, you don't mean to say something insulting about him, you're merely passing on knowledge for the sake of passing on knowledge with no normal intent. How many people here can say that when they pass on such interesting knowledge and interesting gossip, tabloid gossip, they have no intent whatsoever? Please raise your hands. I can see no one is raising their hands. Well, one maybe. Unfortunately, most people, when they pass on that comment, you won't just talk to me and say to me, did you hear that in family Cohen the mother's very sick just for the sake of passing on the knowledge? You will say that either because you want to say, oh, did you hear what happened to them? You want to maybe gloat, you want to maybe be happy. Unfortunately, we as human beings have got very very negative motives to many of the things that we do. So we're going to speak extensively about the heads of the Apif letter. Yes? A person who's very sick, and even though he doesn't want other people to know about it, am I allowed to pass that information so that people can pray for him, or so that people can help him financially? That falls into the category of Lashon Hara LeTo'elet, when I'm doing it for something positive, which means I'm saying something about you in order to help you. And the answer is yes, on certain conditions you are allowed to reveal to people that he is sick so they can help him or give him money, but you have to consult a rabbi on each specific case, because sometimes the damage that will be caused by people knowing is greater than the help that they can offer him by praying for him or by giving him money. So each single case has got to be discussed privately. Yes? Yes. Same, for example, about a person. Anything that we say about a person, we've always got to think whether it is something complimentary or something which is could be something negative. For example, saying about a person that is a chozer b'tshuva, it could be something very positive. I could say, oh, look at this. Look at how he managed to pull himself out of where he was. Look at where he is today. It could be something also very negative, because some people say, oh, what? He's not an FFB. Oh no, that's not for me. So we've got to be very careful. It's also the same thing about speaking about a Hasidus. Okay. Breslev, 10 years ago, if you would go and say that you're Breslev a Hasid, the reaction to you would be, what institute did you escape from today? Are you normal? 1 second, I'm calling the psychiatrist. When I joined Breslev 4 years ago, I was here the Hilula of Rabbeinu, my first Hilula, Chai Tishrei, one of my Rabbonim. He walked by the yeshiva and he just came in and he sees me and he goes to me, Rabbi Elchanan, what are you doing here? And I said, I teach here. He said, here in Beis Yisrael? I said, no, here in the Chutzul Chesed Yeshiva. He said, you're lying. You're lying. I said to him, I'm not. He said, I don't believe you. Okay, I pulled out one of my Talmidim with a kaftan and a shrimel dancing, and I said to him, who am I? And he goes to me, Rabbi, are you okay? Is everything? No, please. This is, who am I? He says, you know, you are Rosh Kodol, you're the Posek of the Kehillah. And then my rabbi looks at me and he says, are you crazy? Have you been drinking? Did your parents already do Kriya on you and sit Shiva for you? And he walked out. Wait, there's a continuation. 6 months later, I meet him at a wedding. And he comes and he says, oh, you have to help me. You don't know what happened. My oldest son for 6 months has been going every single Wednesday to hear the shiurim of Rav Arush, and he wants to go to Uman. So I said to him, Rabbi, did you do Kriya for him already? And he said, oh, I'm so sorry I said that, I apologize, please help me. I said, help you? On the contrary, I'm willing to help you. Other kids come to hear the Rav also. Right now he has 3 Breslover sons, and by the way, he's a direct descendant of the Gra. He has 3 Breslover sons, all of them have been to Uman. That was the reaction to Breslev 4 or 5 years ago. Today, everything's different. Nevertheless, if you go to someone who you know is anti-Breslev, and you say to him, do you know that that rabbi is a Breslev Chosid? That's Lashon Hara. There's nothing bad about being a Breslev Chosid, but when you know that someone is against Breslev, and you're saying about someone that he is Breslev to someone who dislikes Breslev for his own reason, and he's got to do tshuva about that, you mean to say about him something which is negative and derogatory. That's Lashon Hara. So we've also got to be very careful with the compliments that we distribute pending on who the people that we speak to. Last question. Yes?
If a person has the means to leave an apartment because of problems in the apartment, and the Balabas seems like they're not, like they hit things from the current person, and what is the person's obligation regarding the future?
This is a question referring to Dine Mamoinas. Now, before we start that, we've just got to give an introduction saying the Dine Mamoinas, we have a clear halacha that says, Shamua ben Achechem. You have to hear both sides. So until you hear both sides, you can't really give a direct ruling. So this, what I'm saying now, is not a psika. It's merely lines of guidance to explain to us how to behave in such a situation. If I moved into an apartment and I find that there were many things that the Baal HaDira did not tell me about the apartment, A, it depends. Did I continue living in that apartment or not? Because in many situations, if you continued staying there, that means that you accepted and agreed to all these malfunctions in the apartment. Otherwise, you would have gotten up and said goodbye. If I sell you a car that is wonderful, except for one thing, it doesn't have an engine, your reaction would be, give me my money back or give me a new car. You won't keep the car in your parking and use it to sit there as your hisbodu's place. Because if you do that, it means you don't mind. So it depends if the person stayed living there. It depends whether he gave his Baal HaDira notice about all these malfunctions. And it also depends what the malfunctions were. Because in certain cases, the Dayonim will give you certain leeway with malfunctions. In certain situations, they will also tell you that you are allowed to keep the money you owe Baal HaDira, or at least deduct what you think. According to the Dayanim, you have to consult the Dayan. If, for example, the Dayan estimates the damage caused to you is 1,000 shekel, you're allowed to pay him in certain situations, and again, only when you consult a Dayan who's well-versed in Dine Mamoinas, and tell him, and you can give the Baal HaDira all the money minus 1,000 shekel, and then you and the Baal HaDira will go to the Rav and discuss that money. But again, as you can see, these questions are very complicated. Can you say Lashon Hara? Oh, this is another question. We'll just answer this briefly. What happens if someone else comes to the apartment? I know that this apartment has got a serious problem with the electricity and it always falls, and the Baal HaDira didn't tell him. Am I obligated to tell someone else? Yes, you are obligated to tell the person who comes into the apartment that this apartment has malfunctions, because this is called Lashon Hara Letoeles. And if you do not tell him, that's Lo Tamod Al Dam Re'echa. Instead of helping him, you're damaging him. Just like you would like someone to tell you when you come to see a dira that the dira has got problems in, so too are you obligated to tell him. Again, be very careful to speak only about the malfunction, not about the Baal HaDira himself. Don't go into the areas of Lashon Hara. Speak about the problem, not about the person. Thank you very much. Bezrat Hashem, with the help of Hashem, we will be meeting again next week on Thursday between 11:30 and 12:30 to our weekly shiur on Jewish Halakha Minhag. Next week, we will stop a bit from Hilchos, Lashon Hara. We'll be speaking about the halachas preparing for Tu Bishvat, which will be on the Shabbos after that. We thank all our viewers on our internet site, Breslev Israel, bresleve.co.il, for being with us. Thank you very much. With the help of Hashem, we will be meeting again next week. Until then, may Hashem be with us all. Kol Tov.